Hi, good morning. Welcome. We're glad that you're here. We're glad that we can gather together as the body of Christ and be able to make much of our worthy Savior. And we pray that we can turn our energy and our mind and our attention upward as we make much of our Savior. We learn from His Word and sing praises to His name. And we get to do that together. And what a joy that is. Welcome to previous staff members, maybe potential staff members at Saturday Hills. We're glad that you can come and join us this morning. I know you had a fun weekend. We trust that you have a great time here this morning. It's good to see some familiar faces. And we look forward to catching up with you a little bit more after the service. Welcome to any other visitors that are here with us today. We're glad that you can join us, and thank you for being here. I want to remind everyone tonight that community groups will be kicking back off this afternoon and this evening. No evening service, but we do have four community groups that you can choose from. We have one at 1 o'clock, which typically meets at our house, but today it'll be meeting here in the June Conley room at the church here at 1 o'clock, and that'll be we'll be meeting here for today at that time. We have one at 1:30 that'll be meeting at the Gullies, and another one at 4 o'clock at the Willis's, and then one at 5 o'clock at the Ruggles house. And so you can choose any of those. You can see myself or any of the group leaders if you have any questions, need directions, or want to know where to head. But those are all great opportunities to chew on the meat that we get in the morning message, and then also be able to fellowship and share prayer requests and ministry to each other as we continue to grow as the body of Christ, and we continue to focus on being the church and not just doing church. Looking forward to Wednesday night. We have the Wednesday night prayer service here. We continue in our 1 Corinthians series, staying focused, keeping the main thing, and then Fly Ministry continues to meet, and what a joy it is to see so many kids coming to know, to learn, and to have fun, and we pray and trust that the Lord continues to work in their lives. Tomorrow night is the second night of the counseling training, and I encourage you to come and be a part of that. It's not too late, and topics are on the announcement sheets or the email. You can go ahead and look at those if you're at all interested in being a part of that. Even if you don't want to pursue to be certified to do counseling, it's just a great way to know your Bible more and to know what the scriptures say about the everyday things that we face in life. So I encourage you to come and be a part of that. Like I said, we do have an announcement sheet sitting on the foyer table. It's also emailed out every Friday, so make sure your name is on that email list. If it's not, you can get added to that just by emailing Wilma at wbc@wheelersburgbaptist.com and read through that. Mark your calendars accordingly. With that, we'll turn it over to Dave as he helps lead us in singing praises to our Savior.
Well, good morning. It is absolutely a delight to be here, and glad you could join us. I want to start this morning's praise session, singing session, with Psalm 19, and I just want to read through that to get our mindset towards the Lord. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man run its course with joy. It's rising from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. And then this is our prayer this morning as we sing to the Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Please stand with me.
Soul, my Savior God, to thee.
Good morning, everyone. So glad to see everybody out today. Kind of a crisp morning and southern high weather. You know, hold on, tomorrow it might be 70. But so glad to see you all here. Appreciate you coming. Wonderful to see all the young people here in the front this morning. That's great. We want to remember those in our congregation that are struggling with illnesses and surgeries and different things like that. Keep them in prayer. And what a wonderful opportunity we have to come today, gather together, worship. And what we want to do is we want to prepare our hearts and our minds to receive the word. Pastor is going to be coming, giving us the word, and we just want to be ready to receive it. We want to get our lives more Christ-like. And so, we talk about the times around us, how evil the times are, and what does that indicate to us? That indicates that we need to be busy. What's the scripture say? The fields are white for harvest, and where's the workers at? We're looking at them. We are the workers, okay? So let's get ourselves prepared to do the work and be ready to do the work, all right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, Lord, we just want to acknowledge our failures, our weaknesses, our issues. Lord God, we all have them. Some of us try to sweep them under the carpets, but you know what they are. They're not hidden from you. Heavenly Father, just strengthen us, Lord God. Give us understanding as the pastor will come with the message that you've laid upon his heart to preach. Prepare each of our hearts and our minds to receive the word that we can live lives that are more Christ-like. Heavenly Father, we just pray that you would continue to work through Wheelersburg Baptist here. Help us to reach out, touch our community for Christ. Help us, each of us individually, to share the gospel with those we come in contact with, co-workers, people that we meet at restaurants, wherever we might be. Lord, you have opportunities that you've prepared. Help us to pray and ask for those opportunities. Help us to prepare ourselves for the gospel to be given. Watch over us now, Heavenly Father, and we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name and amen.
You can sing this quietly with me and just remain seated. Thank you.
As our children go to children's church, would you take your Bible and go to 1 Corinthians 4? This is a different type of message than I usually preach. 51 Sundays a year, we come to a text and open it up and place ourselves under it and expound it and hear God speak to us through His Word. This morning, I want to read a text and allow God to expound His works to us, specifically His work in the church. It's what we call our State of the Church address. I'd like to read 1 Corinthians chapter 4. My heart is just filled with anticipation as we have this time together this morning. And I'm just praying that God will get glory, you'll be encouraged, and we will leave differently. Listen to 1 Corinthians 4, beginning in verse 1. This is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful, but with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself, for I'm not aware of anything against myself. But I'm not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. So reads God's Word. I want us to think about a question this morning. The question is simply, was 2022 a successful year at Wheelersburg Baptist Church? How would you answer that question? Was 2022 a successful year for us as a church? As that question, of course, raises other important questions. And if you come from a different church, you ask the same question of your own church. The question that it raises is, what is success? How do you define success when it comes to church? Do we define it the way professional football teams do, in terms of wins and losses? Or maybe it's the way peewee football teams do, in terms of everybody gets to play, has a good time, with plenty of snacks after the game. How do you define success when it comes to church? I mean, in 2022, we added new people and exceeded budget at WBC. Does that mean we were successful? 1998, we went through a time of pruning and eventually lost a third of our congregation. Does that mean we were unsuccessful? Does the fact that the giving in 1998 exceeded budget, which means less people but just as much giving, affect how we view success? Over the 35 plus years I've been your pastor here, I've thought a lot about this question. And I'm going to be very transparent, very open with you about my thoughts this morning, and I hope God will get glory from that. I remember when I first became a pastor, when God brought Sherry and me to Wheelersburg in 1987. I remember charting how the next 10 years were supposed to look. I drew it. This is how it was supposed to, I guess from your perspective, the chart would go this direction. Churches or living things are supposed to grow by so many percentage points a year. And if that doesn't happen, something is wrong, correct? So in 1990, we built this auditorium, and our Sunday morning attendance increased from 144, which it had been in 87 when it came, from 144 to 228 in 1993. Just over 5 years, we grew by 58%. Lots of new people were coming to check things out. Many joined. We were even invited to consider hosting our state association meeting. During the next 4 years, however, from 1993 to 1997, the Sunday morning attendance went from 228 to 192, a decrease of 16%. What did those numbers indicate? We were no longer successful. That's what a man told me on Sunday morning, 1998, standing at the front door of the church, when he asked me this question, why don't you resign? Haven't you been watching the declining attendance? If you were a manager of a professional team, you would know it's time for you to leave. Was he right? What could I say to him? Well, just wait. The numbers will go up again. Of course, they didn't go up. In fact, in the last 30 years, we have gone 1993 to 2023 from 228 on Sunday mornings to 114, a 50% decline. In your outline, if you picked one up, they re-mailed or they're on the table, I want you to look at three graphs that I included. Which represents a successful church? It is certainly not the first one, is it? It's a line bar graph, and it goes down like this. This is what life has looked like if you look at Wheelsburg Baptist for the last 30 years. Particularly 1998, we were unsuccessful. Or, look at the second graph. This is the successful church. This is what life looked like in 1993. The numbers went up by 58%. And frankly, look at our present trajectory. In the past 3 years, the Lord has blessed us with many new people and a surplus in giving. So, are we now successful again? Or perhaps it's the third graph. It's the up and down and up again. It's the sports analogy. You win some, you lose some, but just hang in there. And if you do, you're successful, implying that when the numbers go down, you're no longer successful, but just keep going because success comes. I am more convinced than I've ever been that we need to be very careful about how we define success in the Church of Jesus Christ. I don't think any of those graphs reflect what success looks like. So I want to begin our annual State of the Church address by asking for help. And the help will come from the Apostle Paul. I want us to ask the Apostle Paul what success looks like. And then that's the second part of this answer. The first part is I want to look at the Apostle Paul and see what he is the epitome of church planter, church worker, minister. What did life, ministry, church look like for him? Now, I got to be fully transparent with you. The seed thoughts for what I'm about to share with you came during a crisis moment in my life. I'll give you the date and time. August the 3rd, 1998, 11:15 p.m. It was late that night as I was crying out to God that I searched His Word, seeking answers to the question about that had been posed to me by the man at the door, and others were asking the same question, of whether I was a successful pastor, whether this church was successful or not. So I started thinking about the Apostle Paul. I had been reading Kent Hughes' book entitled Liberating Ministry from the Success Syndrome at that time, and he quotes from Chuck Colson's monthly newsletter for Prison Fellowship these words. He says, this is Chuck Colson in Kent Hughes' book. By the time you read this, we will have dedicated our new national offices nearing Washington, D.C. As a result of this and other recent expansions, many people have written to me the effect that God is obviously blessing Prison Fellowship's ministry. He says, as much as I'm sincerely certain that God is indeed blessing us, I believe even more certainly that it's dangerous and misguided policy to measure God's blessing by standards of visible, tangible, material, quote, success. The inference is that when things are prospering, God is blessing us. And conversely, when things are going poorly or unpublicized, God is not upon the work or not, God's blessing is not on the work or is unimportant. We must continually use the measure of our obedience to the guidelines of the Word as the real and only standard of our success, not some more supposedly tangible or glamorous scale. How does the Bible define success for church? What does it look like? What does it look like? You might be surprised. So I started thinking about this from the perspective of, was Paul successful? And I wrote down the question on a piece of paper. In which church was Paul most successful as a leader? And this is the little exercise I did that night. And I want you to do it with me right now. Now, I don't, usually you're taking notes frantically, and you don't have to take any notes if you don't want to, because this will all be, and I've worked this through, and it's going to be in the annual report that Wilma's working on. It'll be available next week. You can look at the graphs. You can look at the statistics. I just want you to get the sense of what's going on right now by just listening to this. This is what I did. Seven churches that we have enough information about that Paul either started or spent a lot of time ministering in, and I was wrestling with the question, where was he most successful? Where was he ever not successful? So here's what it looked like. And I made observations and put a plus where I thought, hey, that looks like success, and a negative where that doesn't look like success. Church at Antioch, number one, Acts 11, Acts 13, lots of people saved there. A lot of those before Paul got there, by the way. Success? Yeah, there's a plus. First people that are called Christians. That's a pretty good thing to go on your resume. Very giving. Sent benevolent offering during the famine, Acts chapter 11. Plus. Very missionary minded. Willing to send out some of their own people, Acts 13. Plus. Oh, struggled with Jew-Gentile prejudice. Cliques at the fellowship meals. Negative. Church at Philippi. Excellent missions giving and missionary care. Plus. Partners in the ministry with the Apostle Paul. Big plus. Squabble between some church members that was spreading and starting to affect the rest of them. Negative. Church of Thessalonica. Persecuted, yet strong. Plus. Solid reputation, though Paul had only been there a short amount of time. Plus, fornication being tolerated. Negative. Confused about their eschatology. Negative. Some were not working and in need of being disciplined by the church. Negative. Church at Corinth. Very gifted. Plus. Exposed to abundance of good teaching. Plus. Poor reputation, those Paul spent 2 years building into them, negative. Schism and divisions, negative. Lack of love, negative. Sexual immorality tolerated. Church discipline needed, negative. Lots of excitement in their worship services, plus or negative. Lots of ministry happening, but their members are jealous of each other, plus and minus. Church at Ephesus. Well taught, able to handle a good theological book like the book of Ephesians. Good pastors over the years, Paul, Timothy, John, etc. Eventually left its first love. False teachers infiltrated, according to 1 Timothy 1. Church at Galatia. Compromised the doctrine of salvation, turning to a different gospel, being swayed by false teachers, confused about the role of the Holy Spirit. Negative, negative, negative. Church at Crete, an obvious evidence of the sovereign, gracious working of God on the island of Crete. Big plus. There's a church there where it had not been. A young church, lots of issues needing attention, according to Titus 1:5. Negative. Poor reputation, Titus 1:10-16. Negative. Church discipline is needed, Titus chapter 3. Seven churches. I've just quickly summarize what I see when I think about those churches. Because I'm trying to answer this question that night, as I want us to think about it now, is what does success look like for a minister in a church? And that night I wrote down 10 observations regarding Paul with these implications regarding success. Number one, things went smoother, at least on the surface, in Philippi than in Corinth, in Thessalonica than in Galatia. It's interesting. Observation number two, this does not mean Paul did a bad job in Corinth and Galatia. In fact, he took the same approach wherever he went. He taught the scriptures and presented people completing Christ as best he could. Observation number three, his leadership was frequently under attack in the churches where he ministered. That did not mean he was a poor leader. Observation number four, the reality is different churches have different problems. Some churches, indeed, have more complex problems than others do. That was a very helpful insight that night for me. Number five, just because a church is successful or outwardly strong today is no guarantee that it will be in 5 years. Which of the churches in which Paul was a leader are strong today? For that matter, which are even in existence today? Observation number 6. Success is doing the job gives you to do in the way that brings him honor. At Philippi, Paul did that and experienced much joy for it. At Corinth and Galatia, Paul did the same thing and experienced much heartache. That's interesting. 7. In the end, God determines success. We cannot measure it because we don't have the right stick to measure the invisible. Only God can, for God alone sees the whole picture from beginning to end. 8. Paul's example reinforces this reality. A successful church is not a church without problems. It is a church that solves its problems God's way, which has become a slogan around here ever since that day. That was a lifesaver for me. I remember hearing that from Randy Patton, and I saw it when I saw these churches here. Successful church, not a church without problems, a church that solves its problems God's way. Observation number 9. Problems are for solving, not for ignoring. That's why Paul wrote all the letters, to deal with the problems in the churches where he administered. 10. And finally, problems are not necessarily bad. They just remind us of how much we need God and provide opportunities for God to display his sufficiency. Problems. Our problems are simply opportunities for us to grow to know God better in specific ways and to make him known through those problem-solving opportunities in ways that will bring other people to him. That was that night. I've been thinking about this week in preparation for talking with you, church family, and I realize it's not just pastors that struggle with the success syndrome. We all do. We do in the way we assess our families. Were you a successful family in 2022? How in the world do you answer that question? Some of us are beating ourselves up, and some of us are patting ourselves on the back because we're looking at an artificial measuring stick for how we did last year. Some of us are dealing with this in our workplaces, in our relationships as friends. Maybe you're dealing with this in terms of your ministry in this church. Were you successful last year in the ministry you did in this church? Perhaps you taught a Sunday school class. Every week, you spent several hours studying the Word of God, preparing a lesson, praying for your students, sending them notes of encouragement. Maybe you visited them in their homes or took them for coffee to pray with them. All right. What was the outcome of all that effort? Perhaps your class grew by 25%. And people sent you encouraging notes to express their appreciation. Does that mean you were successful? Or, on the other hand, perhaps your class declined by 25% and there was very little expressed appreciation. Does that mean you were unsuccessful? Be careful. There can be a lot of reasons for Sunday school growth and the lack of growth. Perhaps a year ago, a sister church closed its doors and people from that church trickled into your class and caused your graph to just go right up. Does it mean you were successful? Or maybe this past year, as a teacher, you engaged in the ministry of admonishing, just like the passages you were teaching said you needed to do. So you lovingly challenged your class members, not just publicly, but one-on-one. You spent time with them to deal with some sin issues, and they resisted. No cards of appreciation. They even stopped coming. Does that mean you were unsuccessful? Maybe your work is children's ministry. Every week, you invest lots of energy and time loving on the little ones at WBC. You're on your knees for them in your prayer closet. You have them over to your house for game nights from time to time. You write letters to their parents to encourage them. You take some of the young people with you and you go visit their friends and invite them to come and learn about Jesus. The results? Well, in 2022, they loved the games for sure. And they sat there when you gave the lessons, but Honestly, it seems like they weren't even listening. And it was a rare thing to see them ever come 2 weeks in a row, because there was always something else more important that seemed to get into their schedules. Or maybe they did come regularly and listen well, and you were privileged to witness three of them make professions of faith in Christ. Does the former indicate that you were not successful, and the latter indicate that you were successful? Maybe your ministry was greeting, or watching babies, or sending encouragement cards, or visiting shut-ins. What's the measuring stick to know whether you did a good job or not, whether you were successful or not in those areas? We need a biblical understanding of success. And I think Paul gives it to us in the text we read a moment ago. He's very pastoral. He's addressing what we're wrestling with right now. He says in verses 1 and 2, if you'll look, 1 Corinthians 4, this is how one should regard us. How? As two words, servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. And then he elaborates, moreover, it is required of a steward, stewards, that they be found faithful. So, based on that, what does success look like? It looks like stewardship, faithful stewardship. Paul says success is being a faithful steward of what God has entrusted to you. A sort of little working definition that I want you to think about for this message. Success is being a faithful steward of what God has entrusted to you. Success is faithfulness at its core. All right? So what's faithfulness? Now, follow me now. Some say the Cleveland Browns have faithful fans because they remain loyal to their team one losing season after another. I say that as a Cleveland Browns fan, all right? All right. Is that what faithfulness is now? Just hanging in there through the tough times? Well, that may be part of it, but that's not what Paul had in mind. Because he says in Galatians 5:22 that faithfulness is not something that's natural, it is supernatural. It is a fruit of the Spirit. Faithfulness comes from God through the merits of His faithful Son, who then reproduces His faithfulness in those who abide in Him, John 15:4. That means, as much as we may applaud Cleveland Browns fans, that's not faithfulness, all right? A non-regenerate person cannot exhibit the kind of faithfulness that people indwelt by the Spirit of God can and must exhibit. To be faithful means, just think of the word, first of all, to be full of faith, regardless of what's happening around us. For it's our faith that plugs us into Christ and His power. It is Christ who then enables us to be as He was and is, to be trustworthy, to be dependable, to be reliable, no matter what's happening around us, good times, bad times. Again, definition just sort of to work with. Success is being a faithful steward of what God has entrusted to us in good times and bad. So this means we were faithful in our ministries last year, successful, if we were faithful. According to Paul, success has very little to do with what we can see, which is why he says, you'll notice in verse 3, but with me it's a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. This is the truth. We can't determine success. We don't see enough to make that assessment. But Paul says in verse 4, I'm not aware of anything against myself, but I'm not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. So he says only the Lord has the ability to make an accurate assessment of my ministry. And that's exactly what he will do, verse 5, when he comes again and brings to light the things now hidden in darkness. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. So we could make the case, might as well not even do state of the church addresses, because it will happen in that day. Every church, every individual in every church, that's when things will be made clear. Only the Lord has that ability. Now, let me put a little caveat here. It's not that numbers don't matter. It's not that numbers don't matter. The truth is God gave us a whole book in the Bible called Numbers. The book of Acts records the numbers of people that God saved and added His church. Numbers are important. Numbers can be a helpful indicator. Okay, so think with me. Declining numbers may indicate, for instance, that we're not doing the work of the ministry. Because we're not working. We're distracted. Our priorities are mixed up. We're not inviting our neighbors into our homes for Bible studies. We're not a welcoming in church when visitors come. We're not being faithful. Declining numbers can indicate that. On the other hand, declining numbers may indicate we are being faithful, that we're doing the work of the ministry, that we're seeking to make solid disciples of Christ rather than settling for emotional decisions. And this commitment causes some people to leave. Growing numbers, think about that. That may indicate faithfulness too. Growing numbers could indicate that we're taking evangelism seriously, that God is saving people and adding them to our number. Or those same increasing numbers may just indicate we're transferring, that's the nice word, stealing is a more realistic word, sheep from other churches. So numbers matter. They just don't determine success. Faithfulness does. Now, with that rather long introduction, let's assess what did it look like at WBC. Let's think about what are the evidences of biblical success, that is faithfulness, that God produced through His people in this local church last year. And I want you to think about three evidences with me. This is my opportunity to stand up here and share what I see in your community groups. You'll be having opportunity. What did you see? What are the evidences of success, that is faithfulness, that God is producing? Three evidences, three categories, if you will. Category number one, evidence number one, faithful workers. Let me talk about faithful workers. The faithful God is exhibiting faithfulness in the hearts of His people, and it's showing up through faithful workers. This includes our staff. I'm so grateful for Pastor Matt and his equipping ministry in the body. He continues to shepherd in many, many ways our community group leaders, other ministry team leaders, thus enabling this body to function well with one another. Wilma is our faithful office assistant. To use a technology metaphor, she's like the unseen wireless router in the building. She works behind the scenes to connect people with people, making sure we all have the information we need to serve well. We have faithful pastoral interns. Pastor Matt and I meet weekly with Douglas and Michael to discuss ministry and theology. These brothers are teachable, servant-hearted leaders, followers of our Savior. It's a joy to watch them growing, serving in this body. We have faithful deacons. Last year we had six, so thankful for these six godly men. Our deacons are like the spiritual pace setters in the church. Dave, Jack, Ken, Ed, Greg, and Dan. They have the this is the, you say, what do deacons do? The number one thing they do, they're the spiritual pace setters. We look at them and this is what it's supposed to look like. Look at their walk with God. Look at their families. Look at what they value. And I'm thankful for how these men show us what walking with Jesus looks like. I'm thankful for their initiative this past year where they've been investing key time praying for this church family regularly on Saturday mornings and so forth. God has blessed us with faithful trustees as well. These five men, last year's trustees, Randy, Dennis, Joe, Adam, and Sam, likewise all modeled faithfulness, Christ-likeness for the body, and specifically did so in the care of this facility so that this building is ready for the body to use in fulfilling its mission. I appreciate the growing emphasis that the trustees are giving towards excellence, because we serve an excellent Savior, and anything that we do, to borrow a line from Dr. Paul Dixon, ought to have excellence stamped all over it. And we see that reflected in this building, and we appreciate that. And certainly, when we think about faithful workers, it doesn't stop with staff and board. Indeed, this is just This is the skeleton, and the flesh is you. It's the staff, it's the board that functions the way it does, so that you then are freed up to do the real work of the ministry, to borrow from Ephesians 4:11-13. Our God-given task as staff and board is to equip you so you can flourish in your good works that you were created and redeemed to do, to use Ephesians 2:10 language. And when I look back at 2022, that's precisely what happened. You taught Sunday school classes. You prepared food for funeral meals. You hosted youth events. You taught children's church. You did many, many, many other good works. For instance, the greeting team under Bethany Wilson's care has worked hard to create a welcoming environment into our services. The connect table that's been built and remodeled, and that whole area this past year that's been reworked, helps us to make the most of our relationships and connections with visitors. The remodeled resource area in the foyer provides everybody with solid take-home reading and ministry tools. Let me talk about our worship team, our song leading team. Kevin Smith has provided excellent leadership for this group of individuals, which includes those you see up front, those that are in the back, and many others involved in this. To help us maintain the needed balance between familiar and new, Kevin started keeping track of the songs we sang and gave me the summary a few weeks ago. And here it is, 123 songs that we sang in 2022. The songs most often used were King of Kings 7 times, Good and Gracious King 6 times, Behold Our God 5 times, 12 songs were used 4 times, 10 songs 3 times. Thank you, Kevin, for and those you lead, for your faithful labor of love that's giving us the privilege of growing in our ability to express the praise that's deserving to our Redeemer. Many of you participated in our cross puzzle initiative last Passion Week. As you recall, for our Good Friday outreach, we wanted to do something very tangible to show this community the knowledge, fill this community with a knowledge of why did Jesus die on that cross? And so we came up with the cross puzzle initiative. On that cross puzzle initiative, we were encouraged to invite our neighbors to our homes on Good Friday so that we could give them a cross puzzle to assemble, and in so doing, listen to the 7 sayings of Jesus from the cross. Then we had the Sunday morning series along the same theme so that people could either come or online listen to those messages. So about a dozen men made 150 cross puzzles to give away. The tech team led by Aaron, in this particular initiative, made a video of the tutorial, which went on our website, as well as the sermon series of Jesus' 7 sayings. Only God knows the long-term effects of this effort to make the message of Jesus known, the cross and what happened on the cross, to this community and world. So many more good works that God accomplished through the labor of love exhibited by this congregation. There's VBS, there's Wednesday Night Kids Club, now known as FLY, there's good works done by Cradle, counseling team, Scioto Hills Camp. Many of you serve in this wonderful ministry. More than 5,000 people experienced the love of Christ during 18 different retreats or events or 8 weeks of summer camps through the Christ-like, Christ-honoring efforts of our brothers and sisters who are from this church and other churches serving at Scioto Hills. Many more people were influenced internationally through the camping ministries served by our missionaries Gary and Nancy and Jade. That's just another wonderful area of good works. And it could be multiplied. If we had time, we could go on and on. You'll be talking about that during your community groups. Talk about the efforts of our other missionaries and ministries we support. But for the sake of time, let me move to another area of faithfulness that God has produced in our midst. Faithful workers, faithful followers. Let's talk about this. When I use the term followers, I'm talking about disciples. Okay, it's not a secret. Let me just, if it's a secret to you, I don't want it to be a secret. It's not a secret around here, all right? We're not into, as they say, bells and whistles at WBC. We're just not. We're not into bells and whistles. We're not into I couldn't think of a better phrase. Bells and whistles doesn't cut it. But whatever that is, we're not into it around here, right? by God's grace, we take our mission seriously, which is to make disciples of Christ locally and worldwide through the proclamation of the whole counsel of God's word, by which lost people are evangelized and saved people edified until Jesus comes again. I want you to know it's not hard to get people to come inside a church building. We've seen this happen. It is not hard to get people inside the church building. Seeker churches have known how to do that for years, and some are doing it very, very well. Just give people what they want and they'll come. But that has never been and is not our mission today, to get people inside these doors, period. Well, I'm open to things to get people to come, but our mission is to make disciples of Christ who then grow up and resemble their Savior. We are not into quick results at WBC. We're not merely seeking, quote, decisions for Christ. We are after the genuine disciple of Christ, a person who resembles his or her Savior, who loves the Word of God, who loves his or her brothers and sisters in this body, and then who embraces the assignment that he has given to us to make him known to our neighbors and to the nations. That's our mission. And by God's grace, when you look back at 2023, what do you find? That's what happened. People came. People heard the clear teaching of his word, and many kept coming. Attendance in 2018, 102. 2019, 101. 2020, COVID hits, 94. 2021, 99. 2022, 114. That doesn't tell the whole story. Our current membership, by the way, is 153. Through the faithful efforts of our technology team, every week we minister to an undefinable number of people in their homes. There are two priorities described in Acts 6 of faithful followers. Faithful followers value prayer and the word. Prayer and the word. Both were evidenced by God's grace and to God's glory. Prayer. I've been so encouraged recently to just listen to the way you pray as a congregation. And this particularly happens on Wednesday evenings. If you're not here on Wednesdays, you are missing an incredible blessing right now. The Lord is producing a spiritual depth in this congregation, evidenced by the fervent discussion of his word and implications of the word, and then by the praying of the saints for what's on the heart of God. People are not here because they have to be here, but because by God's grace they enjoy following. They enjoy following their Savior. And when you follow the Savior, you find yourself with other followers of the Savior. Prayer, and then word. The ministry of the word is a continuing source of great joy to us at WBC. We love this book. We gather often to mine for the jewels in this book. On Sunday mornings last year, we finished our journey through the book of Acts. We spent much of the year beholding our beautiful Savior in the book of Mark, a series that continues probably next week. Wednesday evenings, Pastor Matt organized and led a team that taught us the book of Ecclesiastes earlier in the year, currently going through 1 Corinthians. Our preachers in training Sunday evenings through the book of Titus, various Sunday school classes, small group leaders, etc., taking us into the Word of God. This leads to another evidence. Faithful workers, faithful followers, faithful givers. Again, faithful stewarding of what God has entrusted to us. Is that what happened? It's what happened. Now, when COVID came into our world, it did terrible things. But God actually used it to bring about some amazing things, too, for his glory. Many churches lost people and income during the COVID season. We have seen the opposite of that. Growth and financial abundance. When the coronavirus hit in 2020, we stopped passing the offering plates. And the result? And 2020 was the highest income we had ever received in a year. In 2021, the number exceeded the previous year by a whole bunch more. In 2022, this is this past year, in case you want the number, 241,719, $241,000, almost $250,000 of that number. 45,000 went to support our team of missionaries and ministry workers and so forth. So about one-fifth of our income goes elsewhere to minister to people. There were gifts on top of the general fund offerings, such as our harvest offering, $2,779, to bless Tri-State Bible College and the Baptist Children's Home, many other gifts on top of regular giving. Faithful workers, faithful followers, faithful givers. Just three evidences of the faithfulness that God's Spirit is working into this body, all by His grace, all for His glory. I would just say to you, to me, that's an evidence of what success looks like. I want to speak from a personal vantage point for a moment. I want to thank the Lord publicly for His faithfulness in my life and family in 2022. I want to thank you for your faithfulness in praying for me and for Sherry and our family. In November, I was privileged again to go as your representative to assist missionary Tom Carr in teaching in Nepal. That represents what God's doing in my life just personally right now. He's just opening up opportunities, whether it's writing right now, writing a quarterly article for Focus on the Family's Ministry of Pastors called The Focused Pastor, whether it's I have the privilege to teach as an adjunct at Tri-State and doing a biblical counseling course right now. Personally, the things that God's allowed us to have, He's opening up and now using that to bless other places. We did the Wednesday night series several years ago on the book of Job. That material that we did together, I wrote it. It became a publication, How Not to Counsel, Learning from Job's Friends, that was published by ACBC this past year, a little mini book. These kinds of things that God is doing personally, just as an outgrowth of what God's doing here. And then, very personally, God demonstrated His faithful generosity in the birth of our fourth grandson, Brant. And then His faithful mercy in the sparing the life of our daughter, Julie, when she nearly died on the operating table due to post-delivery complications. It's been an interesting year personally as well. So what's ahead in 2023? I want you to think about that definition again. Success is being a faithful steward of what God has entrusted to us in good times and bad. Will we be successful in 2023? Yes, if we steward what He's entrusted to us. Think about that in your personal life, your family life, and in our church. Don't narrow stewardship just to money. Think about all that God has entrusted to you. Yes, money, time, abilities, suffering, problems. If God puts problems in this church in 23, you know what that is? It's a stewardship. It's an opportunity to see Him work in ways that He'll get glory. Sickness, job promotion, job loss, trophies for our grandchildren, bench time for our grandchildren. Everything that comes into our lives from a sovereign God are things that He entrusts to us for which we are stewards. They're opportunities to make Him known and for us to know Him better in that pursuit. By the way, was Jesus a successful minister? Was Jesus successful? After 33 years, He had a dozen men. One of those didn't turn out so well, plus a few others. What Jesus did was He gave what was entrusted to Him. He was a faithful steward of what He had. That was His life, to save a people. And by dying and defeating death for them, His ministry went on after He went back to heaven. By the way, can I say to you, this is a State of the Church address. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, what in the world are you waiting for? I mean, this church exists because I got to have a lot of people come up here and tell the amazing change that Jesus did in their lives. I was thinking as we were singing earlier, that's one of the things that really got my attention when I was a young person and lost, is coming to a church and hearing people singing the way you sang this morning, thinking, I don't seem to know who they're singing about and to. And maybe you're here this morning saying, I have the foggiest idea why those people were so excited about. Why are you so excited about this person you can't even see? To which the answer is, because He came into this world. Jesus Christ came into this world and died on the cross in our place so that we could be forgiven of our sins and have eternal life. And God raised Him from the dead. And right now, He'll come into your life if you'll just humble yourself. and ask Him to save you. This is why we exist. Do you know Jesus? And then come and be a part of this work of making Him known to others. So, what's coming next year? I don't know. God does. But here are a few things we're planning. Sunday mornings, we hope to return to Mark, our series there. Wednesday nights, we continue in 1 Corinthians as Pastor Matt leads us. There will be Sunday school classes, children's and youth ministry, summer camp and retreats at Scioto Hills. We just announced last week in the business meeting the initiative to send our children to camp this summer. A lot of funds are putting forth. So if you want to go to camp, young person, you can go this summer. And we'll make sure that happens. See Pastor Matt for more details about that. There's going to be special prayer times during Pastor's Prayer Partners every Sunday at 8:30 for men that want to pray for this church. Lord willing, there'll be another trip to Nepal in November that you approved last week as well. We're actually considering a new initiative called our Next Generation Leadership Training Initiative to train future leaders in this church to be the next generation, deacons, trustees, Sunday school teachers, and so forth. Be watching for more details about that. There will be the monthly scripture memory benedictions to learn, being sung by our children, primary age children, as we initiated that last week. There's the CDT that's happening right now and will continue for the next 11 weeks. Preachers in training, guys, will be resuming, Lord willing, in February. And our brother's going to be preaching us through in the book of Proverbs this time, if you want to be a part of that. And then cross puzzle last year, like, what can we do this year to build on that momentum, Passion Week? And it's called the Gospel Panorama. And I am really excited about this. It's an opportunity, again, for guys who are good with your hands to do some woodworking, as well as other things that we'll be giving more details in a Sunday morning series, all working around the upcoming Easter, which, by the way, is the second Sunday in April, and more. I want to finish with one concluding thought about numbers. Numbers do not equate success, but they do give us something to pray for and work towards. If the 114 people attending WBC on Sunday mornings said, Lord, this year would you use me and my family to reach this community? And each of us just got one other person, we'd be back where we were in 1993. We'd double that number in 1 year. It's not hard. And whether it goes up or down isn't the issue. But wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't the Lord receive a lot of glory from looking back 12 months from now and saying, you know, by God's grace, I went over and talked to my neighbor, invited them to come over to my home. We had a meal together. And I asked them, do you know Christ? And God was pleased to use that witness. And they responded and they repented and they came to know Christ. And I said, well, would you come and become a part of WBC? And so 12 months from now, in this room, are those people in addition to us. Could it happen? Yeah, it could happen. It could happen for every one of us. Because one of the things I know about WBC right now is you love Jesus and you're passionate about Jesus. And our neighbors out there need Jesus. And if the number dips, we will humbly assess and we will give thanks to the one who gives and the one who takes away. And we will say, blessed be his name. We bow before you this morning, Almighty God, and just say, there's none like you. There's none that we want to please like you. We know we can't please you in our own strength. So we're so thankful that you've given him for us, your son. You said, with him I am well pleased. Listen to him. And so we're trying to do that. We're trying to listen to your son in this church. We open up the word you've given us that we might hear his voice and follow him. Thank you, Lord Jesus, Lord of this church, for what you have produced in it this past year. Thank you. Thank you for using us. You don't need us, but you have used us. We pray right now, there are those even in this room, those watching online, that don't know your dear Son, Father, as their Savior. Please grant them humility right now. Grant them brokenness, repentance, and faith in Him. Save them. You alone can do that hard work, and we're asking that you would. And then would you use us as your people this year? Give us the opportunity to go out into this community. Use us. Give us the joy of seeing babies crying out, spiritual babies being birthed into the family of God. Allow us to be the spiritual parents. What joy comes from that, and what work. Give us that joy this year, we pray. And then I ask your blessing upon those from other churches. There are several here today. We're so thankful for them. Would you bless them and the churches they come from? Oh, set us free from this success syndrome, that we might enter fully into just walking with you, leaving the results up to you. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.
Amen.
Well, this is a great song to conclude this time with, and it's The Church's One Foundation. Would you stand with me? Let's sing this particular song, four verses of this song.
The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is His new creation by water and water. From heaven He came and sought her to be His holy bride. And with His blood He bought her, and for her life He died.
The second verse.
Elect from every nation, yet one o'er all the earth. Her charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth. One holy name she blesses, partakes one holy food. And to one hope she presses, with every grace endued. Mid toil and tribulation, and tumult of her
to sing the fourth in a second, but there's just, God has been so kind to me. Why He's allowed me to be here a long time is just Him and the kindness of you as a church. But one of the things you never see as a pastor, unless you're there a long time, is what we were just singing about. You cannot tell whether a church is successful by looking at a 5-year part of a graph. It's an organism. It's growing. It's doing things. And this through toil and tribulation. Oh, thank you, Father, so much for hearing the cries that came up from this room in times when things weren't good. And thank you for what you're doing now when things are better. Just, you're working in all of that. Just to you be the honor for that. Hang in there with your families. It's the same family. Don't look at the little and draw conclusions. Let's sing the fourth verse.
Yet she on earth hath union with God the three in one, and mystic sweet communion with those whose rest is won. Oh, happy ones and holy, Lord, grace that we, like them the meek and lowly, are.
So we're trying to finish each service on Sunday mornings this year by letting the final word go with us. That's what a benediction is, the final word, taking it with us, and we're going to be singing it. So I'll sing it, and then let's sing it together the second time. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, be with you all, be with you all. Let's sing the benediction. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, be with you all, be with you all.